This podcast is brought to you by the Pro Bono Institute. PBI is a nonprofit organization that supports, enhances, and helps to transform the pro bono efforts of major law firms, in-house corporate legal departments, and public interest organizations in the U.S. and around the world.
Welcome to the Pro Bono Happy Hour. I'm your host, Nihad Mansour, Assistant Director of the Law Firm Pro Bono Project. In today's Challenge Signatory Showcase episode, I'm speaking with Catherine Hughes, Pro Bono Counsel and Director at Cleary Gottlieb, about her firm's pro bono work with the Bronx Defenders and the Conditional Adult Use Retail Dispensary License Program. We find out about the amazing pro bono work by law firms and corporations through PBI's annual surveys sent to signatories of the Law Firm Pro Bono Challenge Initiative and the Corporate Pro Bono Challenge Initiative. PBI uses the surveys as an essential source of both quantitative and qualitative information about the pro bono programs of law firms and in-house corporate legal departments, and produces both a law firm challenge report and a CPBO challenge report every June with the data collected. Check out this year's challenge reports on PBI's website. Let's get into today's showcase.
It was incredibly hectic and incredibly quick. So Bronx Defenders reached out to a pretty big cohort of law firms in the summer of 2022, asking who might be able to assist their community members with the rollout of the card program. We didn't really even know what that meant at that time, but BXD set up a training for July 26, 2022, and so we went to go learning. In short, we found out that in response to legalization in New York State, New York's Office of Cannabis Management, or OCM, had announced that at least the first 100 cannabis licenses available in New York would be issued to New Yorkers who had been directly impacted by cannabis prohibition, specifically to people who have been convicted of cannabis-related offenses in their families. So this is really playing out to be a racial justice issue, combined with the focus of the Marijuana Regulation and Taxation Act, which focused on communities disproportionately impacted by cannabis prohibition and the drug war. This confluence of events really created an incredible opportunity for Bronx Defenders clients and for the Bronx community, which for decades had been targeted for cannabis criminalization and enforcement. At that time, there really wasn't a place for people to go to learn about the opportunities that were available through this new program. They didn't know how to navigate the early stages of the application process, and especially did not know how to get connected to small business resources and support. That included legal, but also accounting, business planning, human resources, security planning. There were all kinds of requirements through the card licensing application process, and they just needed a place to come and talk. So Bronx Defenders launched the Bronx Cannabis Hub to fill that gap, that information gap and support gap. Through the hub, they provided clinical legal support for justice-impacted people who were interested in joining the legal cannabis economy, but they also were serving as a clearinghouse for the resources and the connections that people would need in order to succeed in this space. So since that first training in July, it's been a very long road. The CARD program has experienced many stops and starts. It's experienced challenges in funding that was to be provided by the state and other parties, and it's had a host of regulatory, legal, and political obstacles. But the hub cohort clients are really determined to move forward, and you know, we see that every day. We get calls every single day from people who have questions about how to navigate next steps.
Why has this project been rewarding for the Cleary lawyers and legal professionals involved?
Our work in this space really goes back pretty far. This area is a place that we've done a few projects in with respect to criminalization of marijuana, and this really felt like a natural next step for us. But I wanted to give you a little bit of that background of, you know, some of the work we've done, especially with Bronx Defenders in the past. So Bronx Defenders previously brought us in to help with addressing the issue of an enormous misdemeanor backlog in Bronx Criminal Court back in the early to mid 2010s. At that time, there were literally thousands of cases that had been pending in Bronx Criminal for more than a year. In fact, the average wait time for a bench trial was nearly 2 years. Things were at a complete standstill, frankly. So Bronx Defenders, they did what they do best. They launched a project, the Marijuana Arrest Project, and then the Fundamental Fairness Project came later to understand the issue and what could be done about it. Cleary was brought in to help with interviewing more than 500 people who had been arrested and charged with marijuana possession in the Bronx from 2011 to 2012. We were gathering facts. What had their experiences been? You know, what were the circumstances surrounding their arrest? And what was their experience with respect to the timing of resolution of the charges? So much of the information that we collected through that project became the basis of significant litigation in what was called the Trowbridge case. It was handled by my colleagues at another fantastic law firm. And I think ultimately I would say that work in this space has really been part of Cleary's pro bono narrative. We saw the hub as really coming full circle for us. The question for us was, how could we help those in marginalized communities who had been most impacted by marijuana policing practices? And this was the next step. We started out by doing some really simple but necessary work. We were helping lots of hub clients form LLCs and draft operating agreements, which were required for the card licensing process. We did this alongside a number of other law firms. Teams were able to do this work remotely, but also to come to office hour sessions that we hosted up in the Bronx as the Bronx Defenders team continued to work tirelessly around the clock in that summer to fall of 2022 to help clients navigate what was a pretty glitchy and incredibly complicated application portal. We then started helping, you know, we moved on from forming LLCs and then started helping individuals with their card applications. As I said, navigating the portal was really difficult. It asked questions that really arose from new legislation that no one had ever learned before. So we were really navigating new territory and everyone was under really tight timing. The portal opened on August 25th and then closed on September 22nd. So in order for us to get a good cohort of those Bronx residents through that portal process, we really needed to be there sitting right beside them and helping them to navigate all of the questions they were being asked. We were helping with LLC formations, but we were also doing everything from helping people gather the information they needed to establish eligibility for the card program. The documentation required for that is pretty significant. And then doing things like helping people make PDFs, you know, just basic organizational things to help them stay on track. And as I said before, so much has happened since then. In fact, a preliminary injunction shut down the program for many months. There was a lot of uncertainty. People were worried about, you know, the investment of the time and resources they had put into this licensing project. There have been tons of challenges with respect to securing funding so that people would have the money they need to build out their commercial spaces. And the list just really goes on of the kinds of challenges that people have faced. We've been really, really fortunate to work with some wonderful clients on an individual one-on-one basis, but we've also hosted a number of legal education workshops and just convenings to bring the hub cohort together so that they themselves can share information with each other, vent their frustrations, and then just figure out how best to move forward together despite all the challenges. And we've really seen that as kind of a remarkable piece of this project is bringing people together so that they can share information with each other. We can share legal information with them. It's been really a fantastic experience to just get to know everybody through those convenings.
You mentioned this a little bit before already, but why are the collaborations with the Bronx Defenders so important?
I think most law firms will say something very similar to what I'm about to say, but I do really view our pro bono work as being led by the communities our legal services partners support. Bronx Defenders is our primary partner in the Bronx. It's also where I'm from. And we rely on them to let us know what their clients and communities need. When they tell us there's an issue, you know, we listen to them and then we think about how we can marshal our resources to help. Sometimes that can be really clear-cut individual representation, a Section 1983 case, for example. And sometimes it can be serving as a thought partner, just getting together, brainstorming ideas, trying different approaches, and really just trying to figure out what will work to help support the clients. And the latter has really been what this project has been about. And there have been people, as I've said, people from other law firms have come in and lent their support. We've really viewed our clients as our equals here because it's a new space and everybody is learning this together. There's all kinds of different sources of information. And, you know, we're there to help gut check in a space that is really exceptionally predatory. Bronx Defenders and the Cleary team have worked collaboratively on this for now almost 2 years, which is the time has gone by so fast, it's hard to believe. It's been a great experience, both with respect to partnering with BXD and benefiting from their expertise in the criminal defense space, but also as they're branching out to help more and more small businesses. And that's really what our expertise is in. Well, I will say the work continues. There's still so much that needs to be done for these clients. We do have several clients who, you know, we have all of our clients, they're in various stages of entrepreneurship. There are a few who have actually launched and are making a real go of it. They are learning on the job for sure. And we're helping them, you know, they were sort of in phase one was like, let's just get the doors open. And now they're sort of learning how they run this particular kind of business. And questions come up from time to time. And some of them are, I think, quite close to graduating out of pro bono eligibility. And so we're helping make referrals and connections to other lawyers and other experts in the space. A lot of the questions are business related, financial related, and we're just trying to help create a network of community for them so they can succeed. But I also think that, you know, a lot of them are still navigating the process. They're trying to secure commercial spaces that have to be approved in advance by OCM. Many of them are struggling with how to secure financing for their businesses, and they're considering all different kinds of deals and terms from all different kinds of sources of support. And I would say that the financing is really the biggest obstacle in all of this, given the federal restrictions and how many different kinds of players there are in the space. So the impact really is seeing them succeed, but also just kind of being a trusted go-to voice for them when they're hearing from all different constituencies.
So what would you say is the most challenging part of this type of project?
In this particular case, the hardest part is seeing our clients go through just never-ending challenges trying to launch a simple small business. I know it's complicated because of the regulatory regime and the federal restrictions, but at the end of the day, it's a small business and there's just so much regulation attached to this kind of business in New York. I will also say that the Hub clients have become like our family members. We've met with them so regularly and we just want to see them all succeed. They are really wonderful people. And I think, and I see this a lot in a lot of the work I do with small businesses, there just has to be a way to make this process easier for them and for all small business owners. There's just so much bureaucracy and red tape, and it's hard to believe that how much of this you really do need a lawyer for. So in my great vision for the future, I would love to see some of that become a little bit easier for people. And like, I think I mentioned this before, but this is a predatory industry. There's no argument about that. And so for us and so many other law firms to stand beside these individuals, many of whom have served significant time for marijuana offenses, and we're standing beside them on a pro bono basis, and we're doing our very best to be a trusted sounding board for deal terms, proposals from bigger, more powerful industry players, and just giving out legal gut checks, it's invaluable to these clients to just have that constant voice that they can trust. It's absolutely invaluable. And I've been told that so many times by the Hub clients.
That's amazing. Yeah, I could see how that could be so reassuring just to know that you're
just, is this normal, right?
Is there any advice that you would give to other firms who want to become more focused on a certain pro bono issue as a firm?
So many of my peer firms are much more experienced than I am at launching these kinds of projects. And I'm sure they would say the same thing, but I really am convinced that everything grows from relationships, right? So making those personal connections, reaching out when you have an associate who's interested in something or there's a specific substantive issue that you think your firm should be more involved in. And once you express that interest, you know, starting small and proving your value as a law firm is really the way to go in order to grow the relationship from there. I think we see so many issues in the media, hot topics that come up, and I don't think that it makes much sense for you to say, I want to take the big impact case when you haven't done the small research memos and the tiny individual representation. So I think starting small and really getting to know the landscape is really critical. I also, especially in this case, really believe in getting your general counsel involved from day one in any new issues. They can help anticipate any bumps that may come up at each phase of the project. And it's never a good thing to give your general counsel surprises. So I do like to keep him apprised of everything that's going on.
And we love a good surprise, just not good that kind of surprise.
Yeah, good surprises, definitely. Yeah, yeah. But I do keep him up to date as the project morphs and changes. Yeah. It was a really great experience to look back at my emails and see how this started. And the first email I sent out to staff it and all the people who responded, it just jogged a lot of memories. So that was great. And I guess the one thing I would add is just to encourage firms who are kind of on the fence about it to see if there's even a slice of the project on which they can help. Maybe their firm isn't comfortable with the whole project, but certainly there are different slices that we can break off, little contracts, things like that, where people can get involved and really get to know some fantastic clients. The clients are really fantastic. I'm very grateful that they have become part of my stable of clients and that I've gotten to know them so well.
Thanks to Catherine Hughes for her leadership and expertise. A special thanks to Cleary Gottlieb for doing great work and being a Law Firm Pro Bono Challenge signatory. We encourage law firm and CPBO Challenge signatories to respond to PBI's annual Pro Bono Challenge surveys and let the world know about their innovative work for us all to celebrate. If your law firm or in-house legal department is interested in becoming a Challenge signatory, check out PBI's website for more information. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in next time on the Pro Bono Happy Hours Challenge Signatory Showcase series to hear more about innovative pro bono work.